Today our reading from the Hebrew Bible comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 5, verses 9 through 12. It's in your pew Bible on page 188 of the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. So hear these words. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt, and so this place is called Gilgal to this day." While the Israelites were camped at Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on that day. That day that they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The reading this morning from the New Testament continues from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, and then continuing 11b through 32. This will be very familiar to most of you, and it can be found in your pew Bible on page 73. Hear the word. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. The slave replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I believe that every Sunday as Lent has moved forward, God is quietly and consistently and unrelentingly reminding us that things are different in God's kingdom. Because Jesus Christ has already started the kingdom of God, there is no turning back. God's kingdom is right here and right now. And it's very different from the way things work in the secular world. God has a brand new economy, a new way of reckoning of what's right for all people. Jesus Christ cared strongly for other people. Christ cared for all people. And he put that caring and compassion into action. And that's what we are called to do, to change our caring into action. These two Bible stories that I read this morning are fascinating in their own rights, and yet they both have something in common. God is demonstrating to us very graphically that God's economy is very different from our worldly ways. This past week, I was reading a commentary in the Christian Century by Reverend Beth Sanders of College Park United Methodist Church in College Park, Georgia. She had a thought-provoking take on these two scriptures and on human nature in general. So let me offer an example that she posed. I want you to think about when you were a little kid and when your mother or your aunt or your grandmother brought out a freshly baked pie. Everybody in your family got a piece of the pie and everybody enjoyed that special dessert. But then, when it came time for seconds, there were only two pieces of pie left. And it got down to you and your little brother. And you both wanted what you thought was the bigger piece of the pie. Well, that simple illustration is a concept of economics and human nature that's called the zero-sum game. With a pie or with so many of the good things in our lives, there is a limited amount of those things to go around. And when you and I divide up those limited resources, they're all gone. That's the zero-sum game. One and one always equals two. And if you get one and I get one, there's nothing left. That's just the way it works. And whether you're talking about cherry pie, or money, or trees, or oil, the zero-sum game holds true. If I use it up, then there's nothing left for you. That's the way of the world, right? Well, that may be the way of our culture in North America, but it certainly is not the way of God's kingdom. In God's economy, there is always more forgiveness, more reconciliation, more grace, and more love. It's definitely not a zero-sum game. God does not deal with scarcity, but rather God always deals with abundance. For God, the glass is not half empty, but rather half full. In fact, for God, the glass will always be overflowing. No matter what. This shift from the human economy to the economy of God is so wonderfully illustrated in each of these scripture readings. Think about what you heard from Joshua. When the Israelites had been wandering through the wilderness for those 40 years, God had been providing manna for the people to eat every morning. Every day they were given just enough to eat to satisfy their hunger, just enough to get by. If they got greedy and tried to store up the manna, it would rot and was no good to eat. But once the chosen people had finally arrived in the promised land and they had celebrated the Passover, the manna stopped. God loved these people so much that He taught them how to grow their own crops. And they began to tap into the nearly endless abundance of food from the land and the totally endless abundance of God's love and grace. This truly was a land flowing with milk and honey. And then in Jesus' parable from the Gospel of Luke, we may now hear the story of the prodigal son through new ears. The younger son was living in a world of the zero-sum game. He asked his father for his half of the inheritance, and he spent everything he had, right down to nothing. He squandered his half, and there was absolutely nothing left, or so he thought. When he returned home to beg forgiveness of his father, he discovered that his dad was living God's kingdom in action. The father was overjoyed to have his son come home, so he ran out to meet him, and he threw a huge party in honor of the resurrection of his lost son. And so this morning, it seems pretty clear to me that God is calling each of us to turn away from the zero-sum game. God is calling us to put the kingdom of God into action right here and right now. As Christians and as United Methodists, we often talk about how much we love and care for other people, how much we are working to become disciples of Jesus Christ. Our slogan, open hearts, open minds, open doors. Well, in my mind, I can almost see Jesus standing at our open door saying, "So what have you done for the kingdom lately?" And I can hear my reply, "Well, Lord, it's just that there's not enough time. There's not enough money. I've got too many problems in my own life. How can I do something for other people? And even if I were to do something, I'm just one person. How can I possibly make a difference in all the insurmountable problems of this entire world?" Well, Jesus smiles broadly and he says, "That's the world talking. Take another look. How does it look through kingdom eyes? There's time enough, there's money enough, and there's love enough. In fact, there's always more than enough to get the job done. You have each other. You have my Holy Spirit. What more do you need?" And I answer, "Nothing, Lord. I just need to stop making excuses and start putting the kingdom into action." And so this morning, I have a few suggestions for how you can put your Christian caring and compassion into action. I don't know if you notice, most people don't, but we have an incredibly dedicated group of people who meet every Sunday right after worship service to count the money that we've donated. And I don't mean to embarrass you, but I'm going to ask you, if you're a counter, would you stand up right now? Amen. Thank you. Well, these great folks are asking you for a little help in counting these pennies and these dollars and filling out the paperwork. And all it costs is a little bit of your time. I go down there every Sunday, and I can tell you they have a lot of fun doing it, and they can sure use your help. So if you have an interest, please talk to Melba Taylor, and she'll sign you up. She'll get you with that counting. Today, as you also know, if you looked into the many bulletin inserts, you'll recognize, and as I mentioned last week, that today is one great hour of sharing. This is where our donations go to support the United Methodist Committee on Relief. If you've been around our circles at all, you'll hear us talking about UMCOR. That's the United Methodist Committee on Relief. If you're interested in more information, I have a handout in the back that explains all the great things that UMCOR is doing to help alleviate suffering in times of disasters, but also how they're working to end hunger and homelessness, too. In fact, at our coffee time, we'll be talking about UMCOR's part in Fair Trade Coffee and how they're working to improve the lot of farmers around the world. As United Methodists, we can be justifiably proud to have UMCOR as part of our global connection. When things go wrong in this world, UMCOR is one of the first groups that are on scene to help out. And UMCOR does not leave until well after everybody else has packed up and gone home. When Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, UMCOR was there and they are still there. In fact, they'll probably be there for at least another 10 years by their own estimate. If you want an indication of just how effective UMCOR is, recently the federal government awarded UMCOR $66 million to assist in the recovery of those who were in the path of Hurricane Katrina. The feds gave $66 million to UMCOR because they recognized that UMCOR can do it better than FEMA can. UMCOR gets no funding from the United Methodist Church bureaucracy. No part of our apportionment pays for that agency. But today, in churches all over the world, people will donate to One Great Hour of Sharing, and this donation is the only source of money for the overhead costs of UMCOR, their organizational administrative costs. Every time someone donates to UMCOR, 100% of the money goes directly into relief efforts. Now, I don't know if you know about organizations, but very few other organizations can make that claim. When you give money to UMCOR, other than today, every single penny you give goes to the people and projects for which it was intended, 100%. And you get to pick and designate where you want your money to go. So if you want to put your compassion into action, I ask that you dig deep in your pocket today and give generously to UMCOR. And finally, much closer to home, right here, I have a way for you to live God's kingdom in person. On Saturday, March 31st, our community is sponsoring the Neighborhood Easter Festival. At 8 o'clock that Saturday, we'll be having a church-wide cleanup day, inside and out. Grab a rake or a shovel, a pair of rubber gloves, and a bottle of cleaner, and we'll gladly put you to work. The United Methodist men will provide coffee and breakfast food for everybody who shows up to work. And then about 9 o'clock that morning, that Saturday, we'll be having our clothing giveaway. We need you to donate your used and clean clothing. We need people to greet folks as they come through our door. We need people to help sort and fold clothing. And we need people to help clean up when it's all over. This is a great opportunity for us to meet the folks in our neighborhood and show them Christ's love in the flesh, your flesh. But wait, there's more. Midday, we'll move outside to our big parking lot here, where we plan to have music and dance, food and fun for the whole neighborhood. The Tongan youth will be singing and dancing. We're asking our Ghanaian brothers and sisters to join us and share their music and dance. Paya Kelemeni, who is a friend who is a DJ, and it's likely that he'll be here to play music. Becky Ross is asking that all of us make donations toward Easter baskets for the kids. And there's inside your insert a whole list of things that she needs you to help her with to share the joy of Easter with our kids. We're also planning, me and Ken and the United Methodist men, to set up several grills and to make hot dogs and hamburgers and offer free food to everybody who's hungry. In fact, this morning I am challenging each of you to go see the United Methodist men and to buy some King Super certificates, and then give those gift certificates to Ken Burvey so that we can buy the food and drinks for this neighborhood festival. I mentioned it earlier. We're having a meeting this coming Tuesday. March 20th at 6 o'clock, to make final plans for this festival. And I would love to have any of you, all of you, to come to that meeting on Tuesday to help participate. You know, so often in committee meetings, we talk about wanting new people to come to our church. We talk about sharing God's love with the people who live right outside our doors in this neighborhood. Well, I can guarantee you there is not an easier way to do this than to be part of our neighborhood Easter festival on March 31st. Every single person in this church, old and young, men, women, kids, everybody can play a part in this celebration, and I want you to join in. Where do you find the kingdom of God? It's not pie in the sky, streets of gold, heaven in the air hereafter, only when you die. The kingdom of God is right here and right now, and it's up to you and me. Volunteer to help count donations on Sunday after worship service. Give generously to UMCOR today on One Great Hour of Sharing. Buy a King Super certificate for the food or for the Easter baskets. Come here on Saturday, March 31st, and be a part of our neighborhood Easter festival. That's the kingdom of God in action. By God's grace and the love of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, may we all work tirelessly to bring God's abundance and God's kingdom to life for all people. Amen.